Welcome back, and once again, this is Our Voices, and I'm Gunnar Dogo Hemlock, and tonight's show is brought to you by the Mohawk Bingo, which is located on the 138, and tonight we have an in-call guest, who is Ansley Jimerson, and he is the Executive Director of the Iroquois Nationals. Say go, Ansley.
Good to be here this evening, looking forward to the questions here, and then also just sharing a little bit about the Iroquois Nationals.
Yeah, so for those of our listeners who might not know who yourself is, and also if somebody was living under a rock who might not know who the Iroquois Nationals are, would you be able to give a brief explanation and a little bit of background on yourself and the team?
Sure. My name is Ansley Jemison. I'm originally from the Allegheny Territory of the Seneca Nation, a member of the Wolf Clan. My Fungwehuli name is Kitoino, which means he just entered. And my mother, of course, is from Allegheny. My father's from the Cattaraugus Territory. And I grew up between, you know, Allegheny and also Brooklyn, New York. And then around high school time, I moved up to up around Victor, New York. And I grew up at the Ganondagam State Historic Site, which was a 17th century Seneca village that was destroyed by the French. Then turned into a historic site, and my father, Peter Jemison, actually manages the site. So I was pretty fortunate in the fact that I was able to play lacrosse at Canandaigua High School, which is where the Seneca Nation actually, or the Seneca people actually trace their ancestry back to as Canandaigua Lake, playing lacrosse there, and then also growing up on a traditional Seneca town site was pretty remarkable, pretty special.
Yeah, I can imagine.
During my high school years, I was actually selected to play for the Iroquois Nationals, the very first under-19 team that we'd ever fielded, and was a part of the team that actually got our first international victory as the Iroquois Nationals. We defeated Team Japan in those under-19 World Championships. This was back in 92, actually, so dating myself there a little bit. So through the years, I've been, you know, in and out and been involved with the organization for a number of years. 2010, I came on as a an assistant coach originally, and then was invited on to be the general manager of the 2010 team. Received a phone call from the chairman of the board, Orrin Lyons, and was invited to come on as serving in the general manager role. So I've been involved with the program ever since. You know, a good friend of mine and former teammate, Gaywa Schindler, was very instrumental in kind of bringing me back on board and getting me involved with the organization. And so I have a huge debt of gratitude to him. But more than anything, I think my debt of gratitude goes to the players, the community, the people who have been committed to the organization. It's a volunteer-based organization. My position is a volunteer position. And it's a real true labor of love in a lot of ways. I mean, the things that we do here, I mean, the fundraising efforts, the programs, the events, you know, travel, you know, putting together the team and things like that, it's all volunteer-based. And, you know, it's just a real challenge at times. But in a lot of ways, I mean, it's a really interesting product, I guess, in some ways, I guess, because when we do travel, when we go and do things, I truly believe that we go as a you know, as a delegation on behalf of the Confederacy. I mean, we have representation from pretty much every community. That's the hope when we put the teams together, mm-hmm. is that we can have representation from each of our communities within the Haudenosaunee, and you know, we try to pick our best guys. You know, that's both character-wise, but also athletically, and that's usually our hope and intention when we do put some of these teams together. And again, we want to go out and be able to represent ourselves because we are competing at the world level. We're competing in the world games. You know, this upcoming world championship in 2018, next summer, is going to be hosted in Israel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we're going to be playing against Team USA, Team Canada, Team Israel, Team Japan, Team England. So, you know, we truly are going and traveling as a delegation of our communities, of our territories, and really of our people in general.
And so the Iroquois Nationals, for maybe some of our listeners who might be listening in, you know, maybe they're hearing it for the first time and asking themselves, well, what are the Iroquois Nationals? And so
sure.
They've been within our Confederacy since the 80s, right?
Yeah. So I believe it was 82 was the first time that we actually really fielded a team. 85, I think we competed in an exhibition game in Los Angeles, in and around the Olympics that were hosted there. And it was sort of the impetus of a number of people. Orrin Lyons was certainly heavily involved with that. Wes Patterson was also involved and instrumental in the formation of that. And, you know, really what the idea was is to, you know, really kind of take back our game. Mm-hmm. For a number of years, you know, our players and communities had played lacrosse in and around our communities, but we never really played off. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was through some legislation that even occurred, mm-hmm. where we were actually banished from outside competition and things.
Yep.
So really for us to be, you know, kind of reclaiming the game, you know, in the 80s was kind of an interesting thing because culturally and historically, this has always been with us. This has been a part of our creation story. It's been a part of our, you know, the formation of the Confederacy. So it is really interesting that, you know, here we are, you know, the originators of the game. You know, we're still kind of new to the game in a lot of ways. Mm. U.S. and England and Canada, I mean, they have a much longer history. But I think, you know, part of their legislation and part of their, you know, acts and things like that, they deemed it actually illegal for us to be able to play. You know, part of that was because of the skill level that we had at the time, and I think that they needed to kind of even the sides a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of, I think, some of their moves. And not unfamiliar, not uncommon, I guess, in world politics and also colonization.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, so I think that there's a lot of parallels here. And I think that that's something that's unique about the game of lacrosse is that there are a lot of learning lessons, life lessons that come along with the game. And, you know, again, you know, us being an embodiment and a representation of indigenous resistance, native resistance, you know, native sovereignty. We're the only team that travels as an indigenous people,
mm-hmm.
Traveling on our own documents, our own passports. And
yep.
So we do hold a bit of unique space and in the world in terms of competition. So it's a real honor to be a part of something like this. It's an immense responsibility, I truly believe. And, you know, I just really appreciate every opportunity that I have to be associated and do work with the team.
Yeah. So for yourself, being the executive director, watching all of our athletes coming in, all of our lacrosse players, and yourself having been involved for so long, you were mentioning some of the things that it teaches you, you know, that we often hear our people say it's not just a sport, right? It's not just a game. So if somebody was to ask yourself that, how would you answer if they were to say, well, what do you mean it's not just the game?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, we talk about it in terms of like it being a medicine, it being a unifier, it being something that can be played to heal communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back in 2010, you know, it was a very difficult experience that we had that we weren't allowed to travel to the World Championships because of our passports at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably one of the more rewarding pieces of that whole experience was following the games, we were invited to just kind of do like an appearance, I guess,
mm-hmm.
as an organization, as a team, at the NAMBLA Championships, which is the North American Minor Lacrosse Association Championship. And we were invited to go and just be kind of guests of honor and just really kind of just, you know, give a hello and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here we are looking at Pee-wees, Bantams, Peanuts, you know, paperweight championships all the way up through. And at these championships, there was clan mothers, there were chiefs, there were community members, there were faith keepers, all these people who are, you know, our knowledge keepers and our community members, all there surrounding our children, our young people, and supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, really what I was looking at was like, this is the next generation of leaders that are going to be coming up to our communities and through our territories. And it was really impactful to see that, like, you know, all of the support that these family members had, these community members had, and it really kind of took you back to think about, like, that's that medicine, that's that piece that they're talking about, is mm-hmm. that's that unifier, the strength and the medicine that surrounds the game. You know, and really what it was like a way and a tool to develop our young men. You know, I know that we are a matrilineal people, a matrilineal society, and I think that at times, you know, it's kind of, the balance has kind of gone out of alignment at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that really, I mean, we do have to have some focus on our young men. But I believe also that it has to be balanced. I mean, I don't think that we need to be putting lacrosse players on pedestals and things like that. But I think that the lacrosse players should really be humble in the opportunity to be able to play this game, to be able to have this gift of being able to play. You know, again, we believe that it was a gift from the Creator, this game that was given to us. And so with that comes a responsibility as well, to be a leader, to be a person in the community of good character, somebody who's going to, you know, help raise up the next generation and the young people behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And really what that's a lot of what it means to put that jersey on. So, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes along with it. In terms of the medicine, I mean, I think it's a mind, body, and spirit type healing that happens. You know, physically you're in good shape to be able to play this game. Emotionally you're in a good place to play this game. Mentally you're in a good place. But it challenges you. It helps you overcome, you know, different sort of obstacles and issues that may be in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being out on the field and being out around a team, you know, this was actually North America's first team sport. And so what does that mean? A lot of other cultures didn't ever see that sort of thing happen when you had clans playing against other clans or communities, you know, one village playing against another village.
Yeah.
This was a team sport. And so there was cooperation. There was, you know, understanding, mutual respect that had to happen. So a lot of sort of like intrinsic sort of like teachings and understandings, if you really want to kind of break it down to a science or a philosophy, so a really interesting game. And really, I mean, like just the concept as well, I mean, of taking like a piece of wood, you know, from a tree, taking the spirit of a tree, mm-hmm. bending it into like something, you know, the curing that piece of wood and the time that it took to actually fashion and make the stick itself, the process that went behind that, you know, the different things that went into it. I mean, there was animal parts that were put into this. Mm-hmm. All things that came from nature that then created this this implement, the stick, you know. So it was a really interesting piece. And, you know, how did that all happen? Where did that concept come from? Where did that idea come from? And then to be, you know, then to turn it into a game, into a sport. I mean, it's just a very interesting story to contemplate. And, you know, over the summer, you know, I thought it was fantastic. I was fortunate enough to be out of Tonawanda this year for the Great Law Recital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that piece there, and I think it was you who talked about it, actually, was, you know, during the, you know, part of Hiawatha's condolence, a lacrosse game was being played prior to that, to his development of that.
Yeah.
And there was a really interesting piece in there when you talked about, you know, these birds, this magnificent blue bird that had come in, appeared during a lacrosse game, and it started to shed its feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And those blue feathers became something that people became enamored with and were really kind of focused on. And they lost their attention where, you know, they were playing this game, but then all of a sudden they started to chase this bird to try to, like, get its feathers. And in that process, one of Hiawatha's daughters, who was with child at the time, was actually trampled during the game.
Yeah.
And so that was a pretty remarkable story, you know, to the great law that you had shared there. And so, you know, in my role and in my position as the executive director, I kind of internalized it in a way. And maybe I thought too much about it. Maybe I went, you know, too far into it or whatever else. But just looking at, you know, chasing these blue feathers, what is the metaphor there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can that represent? Is that fame? Is that power? Is that, you know, money? What is that?
Yeah.
And the importance of, like, you know, putting that in perspective in terms of, like, if you're chasing these sort of things, if you're chasing these sort of dreams, what can happen? Tragedy can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a woman with child can be trampled. Something can happen, you know, so devastating, like, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an interesting story to be able to share, you know, and I certainly, you know, welcome the opportunity at some point that, you know, maybe we can have you come in and talk to our players and talk to our organization a little bit more about that, because I think that that's the philosophy that I think our players need to understand in terms of what I was speaking about earlier, about a humbleness that maybe we have to start to, you know, bring to have hand in hand. I think that there's a respect for the game, but I think that there's even a deeper meaning and a deeper understanding that people would certainly appreciate, and I think it would be that much more impactful when they do put that jersey on, thinking about what I'm carrying with me, what I'm taking with me, who I'm representing other than myself,
yeah.
You know, when I do put that jersey on.
For sure, and you think, like, as you were speaking, it started to make me think about a lot of the research that I had done into lacrosse and looking back at the older game prior to Europeans arriving here and the way that we used to play. And it was interesting to note that when we started playing the game, when they did arrive here and they were taking notes of what they were seeing, they said it wasn't out of the ordinary when you would have all these men on the field that were playing. And then all along the sidelines, they said you would see the chiefs, the older men, the warriors, the ceremonial keepers, all lined up along the side. And they says, and they were just they weren't watching the game. They were watching the character of the players on the field. And so it was really revealing, you know, of like their demeanor, the way they carried themselves. Could they work collectively? Were they hotheads? You know, like the game really brings all of that out in you, huh?
Yeah, so I mean, those are probably like some of the original first scouts, I guess, mm-hmm. or talent scouts in a way, or the precursor to coaches and general managers and things.
Yeah.
And that's not unlike a lot of the stuff that we do today, you know, in terms of like selecting the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ideally, I mean, like I said before, we would love to have representation from each of the communities because I think that only strengthens our bond, and I think it also strengthens us as a confederacy. I think in a lot of ways, you know, the game and the team itself is a real metaphor for the confederacy. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a real true opportunity when we do bring each of the territories, each of our people, representation coming together under that one mind type of idea. You know, so, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, this team is super significant in that way that it's important that we continue to think about those sort of things. And so, you know, for me, I think it's important that it's not really important for you to be a great lacrosse player. I mean, that goes without saying. But I think that your cultural identity, your cultural understanding, your cultural competency has to go beyond just being a lacrosse player.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have knowledge of self. You have to have knowledge of the history, the relationship to the game, where the game comes from, what's the meaning of the game, what's the medicine behind the game. You know, and it may be, you know, and there may be some players and there may be some guys that, you know, may not have grown up with that opportunity to understand that. But I think that, you know, when they put the jersey on, when they have the opportunity to represent, you know, the communities and the nation, it's important that they at least get some of that. And they do have some of that understanding and that feeling. And again, you know, the character piece and things like that. I mean, again, I truly believe that these are future leaders, future mm-hmm. people that we want to be, you know, decision makers in our communities and people that are going to be doing good things in the community. You know, I know that we've had guys who have graduated out of the program. You know, they've either aged out or they've kind of gone on and done some different things. We've had lawyers. We've had people who are community workers. We've had people who do social work in the community. You know, we have a really nice alumni base of people who have gone on and done some amazing things in the community mm-hmm. that sometimes go unrecognized, you know, and I think that that's something that we need to do a little bit better job in terms of, like, how do we actually highlight these people? How do we leverage their abilities and what they've done and who they are in the community to continue to strengthen and grow the interest in our game,
mm-hmm.
You know, be that, you know, through support or be that through, you know, just kind of outreach and things like that. You know, I've been thankful and I've actually made a point of actually thanking U.S. Lacrosse for, in a way, appropriating our game and mm-hmm. actually spreading the game and taking it to other places, other countries, other territories, other people, you know, other places. But, you know, the one thing that I was a little bit critical of, and it wasn't so much, it was more of a critique than anything. And I said, I think you guys have done a great job in spreading the game, but I think that the one piece you left out was the message and the story behind the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to have that without representation of a Haudenosaunee person or a person who grew up with that culture. And I said, so, you know, in a peacekeeping effort or in sort of like a goodwill type effort for future, let's think about how can we come together and bond and share that if we're going to continue to grow this game.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally for me, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of South American countries that have an interest in the game. I would love to have opportunities to be able to take, you know, a group of our guys to go and teach, you know, other places, other countries. I think that the Americas is still a very rich place culturally that just isn't really viewed as being a place of culture, you know. I mean, I think that we still look back to Europe and things like that, Italy, Spain, you know, England, you know, in terms of, like, where culture was formed. But really, I mean, I think that there's still a lot of richness that exists here in this hemisphere
mm-hmm.
that we really need to speak about and talk about. And, you know, in terms of spreading the game and things like that, I feel like that's part of our responsibility is to share that message and share that gift.
Oh, for sure. I just had come back from visiting out in Hawaii this past little bit, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and I got to talking about lacrosse, and he mentioned, you know, Hawaiian, I'm going away from out there, and he said, you know, he says, I never knew there was a history behind lacrosse. He said, to us out here, we see it as kind of like the rich white boy game, he said, and he laughed, and he said, I had no idea. And so I started showing him videos of the Iroquois Nationals, the Thompson boys playing, and, you know, and then it really gave him like a deeper respect for the game. And he was even saying it would be awesome to have people go out there to share the game with the Unguehue out in Hawaii, you know, because that
sure.
would really help gauge more of that interest than growing the game. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, you know, it's an indigenous sport. So, I mean, there's plenty of other, you know, parts of the world that have indigenous people, that have an indigenous legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I've got a couple of really great, you know, anecdotal stories that I can share with you. One is that, we, you know, in 2010, When we weren't able to go to England, we were fortunate enough to go to, you know, somebody had the forethought to, you know, at least maybe purchase some insurance or something for those tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were actually able to turn those tickets around, and we went to Hawaii.
Oh, nice.
And we actually had a cultural exchange there where we actually went through a traditional welcoming, and we went and did a kava ceremony with the traditional people in Hawaii, in Oahu. And then from there, you know, we went and played in a lacrosse tournament in Honolulu, you know, right there, which was truly amazing. I mean, I got to put the jersey on one last time. I scored a goal, and I retired in Hawaii.
Not a bad place to retire.
I was instructed by Tracy Shenandoah that was it. I was done. And I said, okay, I can take that as a good place to retire at.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty amazing. So, then from there, we actually had an opportunity to go to one of the cultural immersion schools in Hawaii and actually go and do a lacrosse clinic with some kids. Nike, one of our major sponsors, was actually kind enough to actually provide us with some sticks that we were able to leave with the kids. And, again, just had opportunity to spread the game and continue to grow the game. And what an amazing opportunity. I mean, this setting that we were in, you know, we were surrounded by these sort of, like, razor sharp sort of volcanic, you know, mountains and things like that, but you know, covered in trees and that rainforest type image. I mean, it looked like someplace where like King Kong might live or something, but it was truly picturesque and beautiful. And, you know, I mean, it was one of those places that like made your eyes hurt when you looked because it was just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really a great opportunity. And yeah, I mean, I agree. I would love to have more opportunities to go out there and engage, you know, with the indigenous people, to support them and also to strengthen our bonds, you know, with the indigenous people of Hawaii. Just last summer, two summers ago, 2016, when we were out in Coquitlam, one of the very first things that was important to me was to reach out to one of the communities out there. And I, you know, happened to have some contact with the Squamish Nation. And one of the things I asked them, I said, was, you know, the World Games are coming to the Squamish territory. Did anybody ask you for permission to come? And, you know, the community leader that I had spoken to, he said, no, I hadn't. The first I heard of it, you know, it was the first time I've heard anything about it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, I said, well, you know, we're bringing a delegation of Haudenosaunee players. We're coming into your territory, unceded territory, and, you know, still your sovereign nation. And I was like, we would like to do some sort of a traditional welcoming. Can we be welcomed into your territory? And part of the idea, too, was that I wanted to offer a position, or at least, you know, if they had a player that was skilled enough that could make our team, you know, we wanted to be able to have a Squamish player play for the Iroquois Nationals and wear our jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent us a player, and he was actually, you know, he fit the bill. I mean, he was a pretty amazing young man. He was a hard worker, great player, good speed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were happy to have him. And it also brought out that support. But then again, it strengthened that bond between, you know, the East and the West, you know, with our communities. And we were able to engage with our brothers in the West, and what an amazing opportunity. We were invited out there to the Squamish Nation powwow. We had, you know, some grilled fish, grilled salmon out there, and they did a welcoming for us as well there. And just what an amazing experience it is.
And so
anytime we have that opportunity to go and do that type of work, anytime that we can put ourselves in those sort of positions and have that type of engagement with indigenous people, you know, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
Another piece, when we were out, actually, when we were in Coquitlam, was the first time that Team Taiwan had actually fielded a team. And that team in Taiwan was actually completely formed of indigenous students, indigenous kids of Taiwan. So there's actually like an indigenous population that was actually invaded by, you know, what is now China or whatever.
Yep.
And there are an indigenous group of people that are with like a subset within Taiwan. And that entire team was actually comprised of these indigenous young men. And the game that they had, so if you know much about baseball, or if you follow, you know, Little League baseball and things like that, like Taipei is like a huge place for like Little League baseball, and they're always in like the Little League World Series and things like that. And so baseball is like a really big, you know, thing there.
Yeah.
And so a couple of expatriates who were here at the state actually, you know, had some children that lived here, got involved with the game of lacrosse, wanted to take lacrosse back to Taiwan. So all of the private schools and all like the sort of like rich prep schools and things like that in Taiwan, you know, are really baseball driven. And so when these people came back, they thought, oh, well, this would be an easy one. You know, we'll introduce lacrosse. It'll just be another opportunity for kids to, you know, get active and play sports. Mm-hmm. None of them took any interest. They wanted no interest at all. So their next decision was, well, let's go into the interior of Taiwan. Let's go to these other communities and these other places. So these are places that, like, kids didn't want to go to school. Kids were, like, you know, obstinate. They were kind of doing their own thing. They didn't really have much, you know, hope in terms of, like, you know, making it into a city or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought the game of lacrosse there. Hmm. The game of lacrosse was tied into them coming to school and stuff like that. All of a sudden, attendance levels went up. Kids' interest started to come up. And they were actually able to form a national team called Team Taiwan.
Hmm.
And so when we were over there in Coquitlam, we actually shared a practice with them. And we did a stomp dance for them. And then they did a traditional version of a song and dance that they had. And it was one of those moments where you just kind of choke up a little bit when you see those sort of cultural exchanges amongst young people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, around the game of lacrosse. So that's that medicine again, where here are these kids on the other side of the world, you know, and this is something that's brought them to, you know, giving them an opportunity to travel, giving them an opportunity to share a bit about their culture,
mm-hmm.
and a bit, an opportunity to engage, and, you know, all through the game of lacrosse.
And so it's
again,
been
just one of those sort of interesting stories, I guess.
Yeah, and so it's really been like this medicine, this bridge building, this really way of moving ourselves forward, but also indigenous peoples who are watching our team. It's been a real inspiration for them as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope and that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and I know that there's grumblings at times, you know, when, you know, there's always a discussion about, you know, the selection of the team and maybe the, you know, the balance of where everybody's coming from and things like that. But
mm-hmm.
ultimately, like, our goal is to, you know, be competitive at the highest level, you know, trying to be able to represent, but also exerting a little bit of our indigeneity in the world and showing people that, you know, we're not relegated to history books. We're still alive. We're still a vibrant culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today we're fortunate that we have some, you know, really great ambassadors for the game of lacrosse. I mean, the Thompson brothers, the Hogan Anico,
mm-hmm.
you know, Randy Stott, Brendan Bomberry, Tyson Bomberry, Sid Smith, you know, Cody Jameson,
mm-hmm.
You know, a guy who's actually Ojibwe is Jeff Shatler. He's competing at the highest level in the NLL. You know, and these guys have all worn our jersey and played for us
mm-hmm.
and have been great representations for our communities and for indigenous people worldwide. And, you know, we have these great ambassadors who are well-spoken young men who are, you know, trying to develop as leaders, finding their way in the world. And, you know, when you do talk to some of these guys, they are very humble people. And it's pretty remarkable when you hear their stories of, you know, how they got to where they are, what some of their experiences are. And, you know, we're just proud of them for their efforts, and we're proud of the fact that we do have them playing for us on our side, because it is great to be able to have and to be able to bring all of these guys together at once.
Oh, for sure. And it's, you know, it's such a, like you said, it's a volunteer even for our players to be able to volunteer their time and their efforts that they're giving to commit to the team. We're running out of time for tonight's show right now. So, Ansley, is there any kind of last words that you would like to share with our listeners about the team, about the sport, about anything maybe upcoming?
Yeah. So I think just, you know, one thing that's important to understand, again, is that, you know, it is a fundraiser. It is a volunteer organization. I mean, fundraising efforts and things like that. You know, we're going to have to be out in the community here probably in the next few months. We're going to try to plan some events to make sure that we're getting to each of the communities. More than anything, we'd love the engagement. You know, hopefully we can maybe do some clinics and things like that to be able to, you know, maybe share our brand of lacrosse with the communities.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also it's important that our grassroots organizations and things like that within the territory, they get their time due. And it's important for our guys to, you know, make sure that we're going out there and paying respect to those people, because I truly believe that all of our players come from their communities and they bring a little bit of them when they come to our team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm deeply thankful for, you know, the moms, the dads, the coaches, the parents, the grandparents, all of those people. I mean, I appreciate all of your efforts. You know, big nyawe and yelik goa to all the people who've made this possible for us. And just the continued support, you know, throughout Turtle Island, but the continued support and the growth of the game, I think, is an important thing. So, you know, again, I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to be able to speak on this. Again, I'm humbled with for the opportunity to be the executive director. I feel like I'm holding a place for somebody else. And, again, you know, hopefully that somebody who comes in and replaces me we'll be able to take this even further, because it's a truly remarkable thing to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say Nawako for sharing your time and your knowledge and with us tonight, and also all of the efforts that you're also putting in on your end. Like you said earlier, to volunteer basis that you and as well as the board and others are there for. So for me, I just want to say Nyawako to yourself, all of our players, all of our families who are engaging in this way and really building on what it was that you talked about tonight and that this continues into the future. So just want to send out those words of encouragement to keep up the good work. And I want to say again, Nyawako. Okay, Nyawa Ainsley.
Onagi.
So that was Ainsley Jimerson, and he had joined us over the phone. And once again, we want to tell him Nyawako, and also to all of the Iroquois Nationals, the players, the families, everybody who keeps this culture alive and well, that we just send out those encouraging words and say Nyawako. So up next.